prescription surge in America.
Jim Bianco joins us right now. Jim Bianco of Bianco Research. Jim, fantastic to catch up with you, sir. What do you make of this pullback in commodities, gasoline in America, nat gas here in Europe?
Yeah, I think it's part of the cycle that these markets go through. I mean, if you take nat gas in Europe, it got a little overdone a couple of weeks ago. And while it's definitely pulled back a lot, this is the old Wall Street thing. Are we more impressed that it's 40 or 50% off the high, or are we worried that it's still 400 or 500% off of the low from 2 years ago? I'm more worried that it's 400 or 500% off of the low. Regarding gasoline or crude oil in the United States, count me in the camp that thinks that that market is deeply oversold right now. The pessimism is running high. Everybody seems to want to talk about $70 crude oil as opposed to a rebound to $100 crude oil. At least that's the way that I see it. And I think we're setting up a low.
You think that we're setting up a low to a new high? Is that what you're suggesting? I mean, there's sort of just based on what John was reading earlier about the Bank of America card data, it's almost this unfortunate cycle that if you get lower gasoline prices, you get more spending, and then you get a faster economy, and then you get an economy that needs a Fed to really halt the brakes. So at what point are you looking for that surge in demand to take back over in the crude market?
Oh, I think that this surge in demand is going to take over immediately. I agree with that survey. You know, you've already had a $1.20 decline in the price of gasoline. And it's also worthy of note that tomorrow is the CPI report. The Bloomberg estimate is -0.1% because of the fall in gasoline prices. But that has not stopped the market from putting a 90% chance that the Fed is going to raise rates 75 basis points. So if we print -0.1% tomorrow, still expect 75 basis points. We need to have something more than that. Actually, I think we're probably going to turn our attention now to the core CPI measures, because those are what going to matter. And that spending surge will probably show up in core. And that's really where the Fed and everybody will pivot to as far as where they're going to go next with Fed policy and what's next for inflation.
Jim, we're in London, and we've been hearing a lot about an energy situation that's quickly moving and looks marginally better. Perhaps not when you look at the pace off the base, but when you look at, for example, just the trend of natural gas prices coming down, how concerned are you about the fiscal landscape with countries looking to borrow to plug the gap, but not necessarily reduce the demand? And I'm talking about the United Kingdom.
No, I am very concerned about that. There's two things here. First of all, while the price of natural gas is coming down, the storage for natural gas is about where you would have expected it to be in the middle of September. So there's no lack of storage. But the price that they've paid to get that storage is about 600% more than they did last year or 2 years ago. Somebody's got a huge bill they've got to pay. So that's either going to show up in higher energy bills or it's going to show up in higher taxes. And if they think that they're going to bridge that gap with more borrowing, well, you're going to do it at a time, let's take the UK, when the Bank of England is aggressive on raising rates, is not going to be there to support the market if there's going to be a big jump in fiscal borrowing. And it's going to be very, very difficult for that. So it looks like they've either got higher taxes or higher energy bills or a combination of the two.
Jim Bianco, I want to steal from the great John Writing with his Bank of England and Federal Reserve experience. Why are we afraid of higher interest rates? Aren't higher interest rates a sign of a resilient economic America?
Interest rates can go up for one of two reasons. If they're going up because of strong economic growth, real growth, that's a good thing, and you want to encourage higher interest rates. If they're going up because of inflation and to ward off higher inflation, that is a worrisome thing. And it's been the latter. It's been inflation that's been driving it.
Fair.
Now, if we ever pivoted to the point, where we're talking about booming economic growth, which we are not, we've just had two negative GDP quarters, then we could talk about higher interest rates being good. But that's not the case now.
Right. Okay. But that's beautifully explained, Jim. It's a clinic. But the bottom line, Jim Bianco, is somewhere on the inflation continuum, we flip over to that good news. Is that at a 5-ish, 4% inflation rate, or do we got to get down to Chairman Powell's 2.6%?
Well, if you believe the chairman, it's going to be probably closer to 2.6, and we're probably going to have to see a lot more evidence that inflation has peaked other than gasoline prices have fallen for the last 2 months. Don't get me wrong, that's great that they have, but that's just not going to be enough to move the needle when it comes to the Fed, in my opinion.
Hey, Jim, you're going to stick with us. We're lucky to have you with us going into the opening bell there. Jim Bianco there of Bianco Research. I want to get you some movers going for the late Queen. Jim Bianco of Bianco Research is back with us. Jim, we talked a lot this morning about how the problems for many of these leaders, many of these political leaders, aren't going to go away. They may well pause this time next week for a moment, but the problems will still be there. What we witnessed last week was an unprecedented fiscal plan come out of this government. Uncapped liability. Sterling was weaker. Yields were higher. Sterling's stronger today. Now, Jim, do you view that as just a break, just a sigh of relief for a moment, or a change?
No, I'm putting it in the sigh of relief camp. The dollar, if you will, the opposite of the currencies, is, you know, a risk-off asset. When things are weak and the world is uncertain, the dollar rallies, and when equities rally and people have breathed a sigh of relief, the dollar goes down. I'm only going to put that into that camp right now, because I don't think what we've seen with it is anything, you know, more than that, and that especially applies for the dollar-pound cross.
That's the currency story. There's a credit story for this as well, Jim, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier. What is going to be the consequence on sovereign yields in the UK and even to some degree in Europe as they try to shore up their consumer balance sheets by borrowing money? How much more do we have to go with that kind of credit premium, risk premium put into sovereign bond yields in the UK and in Europe?
Oh, I believe we've got a lot more to go. They're going to have, on one side, they're going to have vastly higher inflation that is going to be driven largely by energy. On the other side, they're going to have central banks, especially the ECB, finally catching up. Madame Lagarde, or Laggard as I like to call her, is becoming a little less laggard in trying to catch
be
up
nice,
with raising
Jim.
Rates. Okay, I'll be nice. She's trying to raise rates a little bit more aggressively. So we're going to see that. And you're right, on the other side of the equation, you're either going to get massive fiscal borrowing or you're going to get higher taxes. All of this is a big cocktail for higher inflation, more supply, higher interest rates. It's also a prescription possibly for a recession. The Bank of England has taken the unprecedented step last month of predicting a recession would start in the fourth quarter. I don't believe any G7 central bank has ever predicted a recession. They always tell us we're going to have a soft landing. And then when we have a recession, they announce it's over. But this is one where they said a recession is coming. Well, but that's not even stopping them from raising rates. So it looks like higher interest rates across the board.
They've suggested it a recession. It's not as if Bank of England, yes. Your European Central Bank has not taken that step. The Federal Reserve of the United States has not taken the step. The Bank of England has been sort of the outlier with respect to a good degree of perhaps some would say honesty. I am wondering, though, Jim, what this read-through is. If you get higher yields in the euro area and in the United Kingdom on the heels of this two-pronged whammy, what does that mean for the U.S. Treasury market? Does that bring up some of the yields in the long end?
I think it does. I think it does. As global rates go up, there'll be enormous pressure on interest rates to move higher in the U.S. And I think as the Federal Reserve continues to raise rates, that'll even put higher rate pressure on the long end of the curve. The terminal funds rate, according to the Fed Fund Futures contract, is 4%. That seems to be the number everybody's focused on. All the rate hike cycles back to 1987, the two-year note ends its or peaks above the terminal rate. So if that history holds, you're going to get at least a 4% two-year note, if not much higher. And that would mean that we're either looking at a record inverted yield curve of minus 75 basis points or 50 basis points, or what I think will happen is that the long end will be dragged higher too. And I don't think that June might have been the high of the year, but will come at a minimum, will come very close to matching that yield or maybe slightly taking that out before the end of the year.
That's an interesting call at the end there. Hey, Jim, it's good to hear from you. Jim Bianco there of Bianco Research on the bond market and President Laggard.
John, if you and I said that, we would be so time out.
Hey, just repeating what Jim said.
It wasn't us, folks.
I've heard him say that before. Well, I think it raises the question.